Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, and good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. We're going to learn, we're going to laugh, we're going to have some fun today, but I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone that you know who they are. They just started out on their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they're a new business owner. Maybe they've been in business for 55 years. I don't know. But maybe they're stuck in their business and they don't know where to go next. Well, they need to tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show because we'll help them answer some of the questions that they have. But they won't have the information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So whatever you have to do, whether you have to wake them up, send a post, send a text, send that email, post it on all your social media, but let your network know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live because, as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Mr. Jeremy Nunes. Jeremy has been performing stand-up comedy since 2002. In 2019, he released a dry bar comedy special. In 2020, he released a stand-up special on Amazon Prime. In May of 2021, he released a humor book retelling his real-life hilarious experience as mayor of his rural hometown, titled You Can't Write City Hall. Good morning, Jeremy. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here, excited to have this conversation. One of the things that stood out to me, and I kind of saw a similarity, is Dave Chappelle basically went to this little Ohio town, and now he's almost like the mayor. So it's just interesting. So tell us, Jeremy, tell us about you, who you are, and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, well, speaking of him, in my humble opinion, the best comic working today, Dave Chappelle. So yeah, I am a stand-up comedian, started in 2002, and been at it ever since. And yeah, retold my real life experience as a small town mayor. I accidentally got elected because I ran for office as a joke. I know you yourself are taking politics very seriously. I did not. My campaign slogan was "Put a real joker in office," and I, you know, because I thought, who would vote for somebody like that? 80% of the town. So I ended up getting elected and, you know, got sworn in. And, of course my mom was there. My sister was there. My wife was there as I was sworn in. My dad was not there, because he voted for the incumbent.
Wow.
And, yeah. So I retell that whole story in the book there. Yeah. You Can't Write City Hall, right behind me there. And which is now an Amazon bestseller. And so I'm shamelessly self-promoting all my stuff here. And I don't know what else to say, Sharifa. I'm just happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you. And if you don't know what else to say, don't worry. I got you. I have plenty of questions. So why did you say you can't write City Hall? Were they writing to say, get this joker out?
Well, the idea comes from, if you've probably heard the phrase, you can't fight City Hall. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of changed it just a smidge there to you can't write City Hall. Because basically, like I said, it's a retelling of the story. You can't make it up. You can't write it. So hence, you can't write City Hall.
Yes. And, no, I love it. I love it. And you mentioned me being serious. Yes, I am serious about running for Senate, but I'm not running for any particular political party, Republican, Democrat. I'm running as an independent, basically because I want to just say whatever I want to say. So I definitely understand that energy and that vibe. But what made you, because I'm not going to try to play guess the age, but I can tell you've been out of high school, college for a few years. In 2002, what made you decide to go in a different direction or take this journey?
So I had always wanted to do stand up. The bug had bitten me for quite a while. You know, the hardest part is just getting in front of people and actually doing it, you know? So what was unusual about my circumstance was, you know, growing up in a small town, sort of the small town tradition is, you know, the father passes the family business on to his son, and then eventually he passes it on to his son and so on. And so true story, our family runs the trailer park in our town, and my dad really wanted me to take over the family trailer park business. but instead I said, you know, the bug has bit me. I want to do stand-up comedy, and I'm sure I can make just as much money, which was accurate, tens of dollars.
You know what? I'm learning already. I didn't even know there was a trailer park manager. I just thought the trailer parks just showed up, sat there, and now we're at home.
No, yeah. Somebody's got to keep an eye on it. Otherwise, people just drive away with their house, you know?
Are there laws against driving away with your house? I thought the whole point of having a mobile house. I'm learning, Jeremy. I don't know. Never been into, around, lived in a trailer park. This is new for me.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, this is an actual problem in trailer parks, is people get behind on their rent and then they just leave with the house in tow and then never to be heard from again. That's a thing. Yeah.
So, okay. So on the opposite side, do you have trailer park chasers? Like people who go after trailer parks?
So sort of like a bounty hunter for trailer parks. Yeah. No, but if comedy doesn't work out, that might be my new profession.
Yes, see, I always give people new professions here on the Roundtable Talk Show. Y'all better share this show because we learned how to turn lemons into lemonade. Now, Jeremy, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and she is incredible, Miss Alicia Garner. She's the businesswoman who is making a cultural impact in the Black community. Alicia is a first-generation American, experienced businesswoman, mother, creativity leader, and founder of Culture Elevation. Alicia started it after her daughter's talent inspired Alicia to create an organization that will cultivate confidence and creativity among Black artists. Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Before we find out about you, did you know all that about the trailer parks?
No, that's news to me. So I'm definitely learning something myself.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't alone. Like, this wasn't something everybody else knew about trailer parks, and I was over here by myself. So Alicia, tell the people, who are you, what do you do, and what are you passionate about?
Yes, so very, very passionate about, you know, the empowerment of our youth, our communities, and just putting out those positive affirmations on a regular basis. So the way that culture kind of came to me was I had the opportunity to move to the Virgin Islands in 2014. During that time, I really was immersed in like that culture around Black businesses owning things and you being an entrepreneur and having that entrepreneurial spirit. So at the time, the company I worked for, which was, you know, kind of foreign to me, is the way that it was set up, there was so many people of color in positions of power. So the president of the company was Black, the head of HR, marketing, all of those different jobs were filled with people that looked like me. And to someone in the American corporate world, that's not something you see every day. So that was very inspiring in terms of making me want to make sure that I can bring that culture, you know, full circle. So fast forward, after that job ended, I moved to Texas, and I had remembered I had a dream about a logo when I was there. I didn't know what that logo meant. I didn't know how it was going to come to fruition, but I just knew that I wanted to embark on this journey of being an entrepreneur. And so I had a conversation with a friend of mine at the time. We were brainstorming, and, you know, culture was born from that. Since creating culture and kind of getting it going in 2020, which is when we first kind of got incorporated and started on this journey, her and I have split ways, but I still have kept culture kind of true to our original vision and mission. And now it's more of a family-owned business. So how we're structured is we're a pre-order campaign company. Every single month, we have brand new fresh designs that I work with my marketing rep And we design these with our audience in mind. So we have kids, we have adults, so men and women shirts, and they're exclusive. So you have from the beginning of the month till around the 26th. And then at that time, we will process the orders at the end of the month and start a new campaign with all brand new designs. So very exclusive, very fresh. We do everything we can to make sure that we are empowering our youth and our community. So you're going to find things that say, my intuition knows her ish, and things like that on our site, because we just really believe in the power of manifesting your own reality. Like, you own your story. So what does that look like for you? And so, you know, my daughter, she's an artist, has always loved to draw and color and do things that are very, very creative. And so even in my house, you know, we've done our best to make it like a mini art gallery. So when you walk through here, it feels like you're constantly getting that affirmation of Blackness and beautiful and excellence in every aspect of what we're doing. And that's really what culture is all about.
I love it. I love it. So when you parted ways, whose fault was it?
You know, it was—
No, don't answer that. I'm just giving you a hard time. Giving you a hard thought. I'm just giving you a hard thought. Business is tough.
Sometimes you got to make tough business decisions.
Yes, absolutely. See, that's how professional keep it professional. Just sometimes is business. Alicia, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. David Chapman. David nearly drowned in a river 3 times in one day. We're going to find out how he went back in a river after the first time. But before we do that, he's also been kicked out of Costa Rica. He shares his story. He's an unassuming pay-per-click genius. He's been managing Google Ads since 2004, and he's here today to tell you how to stop bleeding money on paid ads and start gaining a positive return. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You got to tell me about this river, David. Like, I heard everything. You can help the people make money. I got you. What were you doing in this river?
So I signed up for a raft guiding course. And so back in, I think it was 1998, that was about $300 for 2 weeks of rafting, and you get to learn to be a guide. So I didn't make the cut at that company. It was Timberline Tours. So I went down to Glenwood Springs and got a job down there. And I was in raft guide training. When they hired me, and I fell out of the boat in training, and it was this rapid. It was called Hell's Half Acre, and I looked at it, I'm like, you know, this rapid isn't that bad. I don't get what the big deal is. So I fell out of the boat. I went over this rock and down into a hole, and I'm down at the bottom of the Colorado River for about a half a minute before I pop out a little ways downstream. And I'm like 50 yards or 100 yards downstream of this place where I fell in. I'm like, cool, I'm safe. And I'm like, wait, why am I not going downstream? I'm floating back upstream very slowly to where I got sucked down to the bottom of the river. It was the most bizarre thing. I'm like, rivers kind of go one way and I'm going the wrong way. I don't understand. Well, that's what a recirculation does, is, you know, the fast river goes down and to the bottom of the river, and then everything else fills in. So I go back to the top. I'm looking up at this rock and the water coming over, and I get sucked down to the bottom again. And then I'm down at the bottom of the river for 30 seconds and I get spit back out. And then I'm floating back to the top and I'm exhausted. And I get sucked down to the bottom again. I'm like, okay, now I'm really in trouble. It's my third time at the bottom of the river. And right then I remembered, I was the one guy in guide school when they were talking about a recirculation. I'm like, what do you do to get out? I was the only guy that asked. They're like, well, you either take off your life jacket, in which case you risk drowning, And then you get sucked, you know, then you get spit out, or you curl up in a ball. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm going to curl up in a ball. And so I just curled up in a little ball and I got spat out further downstream. And I was just thoroughly worked. The funny thing is I signed up for Raft Guide School partly because I wasn't a good swimmer and I wanted to get better. So it was kind of trial by fire that day. So yeah, and that brought me down to Costa Rica, which is one of the few places where you can guide all year round. I was making about $300 a month down there, and somehow got kicked out. The place where I was staying, the guy was, he had a little domestic violence problem, and I helped rescue his wife and took her down to the capital, and the owner of that hotel, he didn't take to that too kindly and called immigration and got me kicked out a few weeks later. So.
Wow, Dave, we haven't even gotten to the Google ads and the help in the business. you in Costa Rica, I'm still on this river. See, that's what's wrong with people. Y'all don't read the signs that says Hell's Havoc or whatever it says. Anything that has the word hell in it is enough for me to say, I'm not going to try that. So you continue to be a guide?
I did, yeah. You know, I finally got hired by that company that wouldn't hire me after I'd had a few weeks experience. It was this really great guide that gave me the check ride. And he would do everything wrong just on purpose to have fun. And so I was going down one rapid backwards by accident. And he thought I was doing it on purpose just to have fun. He's like, this guy's awesome. And I just played it off like I meant to do it. And he's like, yeah, you're fine. You're hired. You'll be great. And I just barely pulled it off. And then somehow I got a job in Costa Rica guiding. And I lost 33 people out the side of my boat in 9 months. I got 29 of them back. So I think I had a pretty good rescue.
What happened to the other four, David?
We had some alligators down there, and
okay, I don't know.
Sharifa, I'm just kidding. I got them all back.
Jeremy helped me because I'm like, I don't know what to say at this point. Like, I thought Jeremy was the comedian.
Well, when he said he made $300 a month, I was like, this guy's doing comedy in Costa Rica.
David, you are too fun. I could talk to you all day. So I'm gonna come back to you, okay? I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and she is amazing as well, Miss Michelle Bolden-Hammond. Michelle is an author, life coach, motivational speaker, psalmist, creating a revolution of inspiration. Michelle is a multi-talented woman that handles her faith, marriage, business, and professional relationships with the power of inspirations. A small town country girl from Talbot County, Maryland, who has risen above life challenges from birth defect to low self-esteem, rejection, and mental abuse. Welcome, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you again, Sharifa, for having me on. Thank you so much. I see everything and everybody here today. Appreciate it. It's all about inspiration for me. And I didn't get a chance to even send in, from trauma, as you said, we all deal with mental health, and that's what I'm in advocacy for, mental health, especially in our community. We don't take it ahead because we say, hey, Jesus, we take it to the church, but then the church is not dealing with it. So that's where I'm advocating for our mental health services. We need to get it, people. We need to get it. You know, I'm a person of faith, but I do believe that there are certain things that we need to address with clinical professional help. You know, the church and the faith is a spiritual thing, but when it comes down to things that's happening in our communities, it's dealt from traumas. I share, when I talk about trauma, it's my mother, who was 15 at the time, dealt with trauma. And this stuff can be generational, passed off, and we're wondering why we're acting the way we are. But that's why I'm in this, for mental health advocacy and empowering women.
Wow, I love it. I love empowerment. So I want to go back. You said it was your mother who was 15. So was she 15 when you were born?
Yes, 15, 2 pounds I was born. 15, wow. 2 pounds, but yes, 2 pound baby. Wow. The circumstances, my grandmother, where we look at it in our community is if mom don't do, grandma's supposed to do. Well, grandma was still partying. grandma was still partying. And I just got adopted into the family, which was better for me. You know, I had some birth defects and now I can walk. If I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't be able to walk. So, you know, it's things that happen and we go through, and then I was given away for adoption and didn't know the reason why until I got in my 30s, the reason why. So I dealt with this, why my mom didn't really want me. And that wasn't the case. It's because of dysfunctional stuff in our family. So that's why I try to talk to other women, young girls, you know, things that we go through, because I went through a self-esteem problem, wondering why my mom didn't want me. And it wasn't the reason until I got 30 that I found out that wasn't the case. It was just because of the circumstances of dysfunction was the problem.
Alicia, when you hear Michelle, go ahead. I'm sorry, David, you had a question.
Yeah, so I just wanted to chime in on the mental health awareness. And so one thing that is a lot of people don't know about, including mental health professionals, there have been some studies that have shown 50% of the cases of anxiety and depression are a result of a sleep breathing problem. Because if you're not getting the oxygen you need at night, you are going to struggle during the day and you're not going to know what the heck the problem is. And I'm a, you know, fairly young, skinny guy, height, weight, proportionate. And I have, you know, a pretty serious problem with sleep apnea, which doctors don't suspect. I've had 15 surgeries for sleep apnea. I even have a little implant you can see right here, shoots my tongue forward every time I breathe at night, all throughout the night, to keep my tongue out of my airway. And, you know, before I got a handle on that problem, caused a lot of anxiety, some depression. I mean, my mind was not right and it drove me crazy. And there's a lot of people running around who've been diagnosed with depression. Before this, I was diagnosed with anxiety and it was driving me crazy. And you know, if it doesn't reach a certain level where you've, and when I had the test for sleep apnea, one of my first tests showed a very, very, very low level of sleep apnea where they said, you don't need CPAP. And I was using it and they said, we think you should stop using CPAP. I'm like, no, it's helping me. So there's a lot of people that if they go to their doctor and say, hey, I've heard about this, would you try me on CPAP, which is, you know, you wear the mask all night. All it is compressed air. This is less serious than being on anti-anxiety or antidepressants. It's just compressed air. And so people are just very unaware of it. And if you can go to your doctor and say, hey, look, why don't we try this for a month and see if it works? It's something that I think could benefit a lot of people. So end of my public service announcement.
Well, and to chime in on that, you know, Michelle, I really commend you for being an advocate in this arena, because especially within the Black community, you know, there's a stigma around getting mental health and taking care of that. And what I'm really seeing more and more is our Black men are really not being targeted to say, hey, you are dealing with things and here's some avenues in which you can get that taken care of. The other big issue, you know, is access to care. You know, a lot of people in these communities, you know, they don't have insurance. They are in food deserts. There are multiple things that compound that daily trauma and stress, and they just don't have access or the means to get the assistance that they need. So, you know, the work that you're doing is incredibly impactful. And, you know, it's something that we'll be talking about on the Culture platform. So we have a YouTube channel and we're going to be talking about things like mental health. We're going to be talking about the history side for kids. You know, we're not being taught all of the things that we should in school. There's so many details left out and so many untruths within the history books that culture wants to right those wrongs. So this summer, we're gonna be doing a series where we're gonna be reading African folk tales. We'll be having conversations with kids so that we can start to tell our stories from our perspective through our lens. So, you know, I really commend you for that.
And thank you. You said one good thing too, Alicia, when you're talking about with the kids, there is so much to this as an adult. I would tell anybody out here in the, you know, the video waves or wherever you go. And that's why I try to bring that on my show as well, about adverse childhood experiences. And it's called the ACE study. The ACE study was brought into doctors about, you know, about losing weight. But when they found out about it, these adverse childhood experiences, you know, if you witness so much stuff as a child, and I'm gonna tell you, on my list, I had at least six of out of those 10, but I'm not that circumstance of the ended. I mean, it could go that way, but this is what we're seeing. Little Johnny looks at TV. Little Johnny doesn't have mom and dad or in the house. Grandmom's raising him. Oh, you know, this could actually lead him to become a substance use abuser or have mental health challenges and problems. I advise anybody to go read about the adverse childhood. It's called the ACEs, and take it for yourself. They have free tests you can take online yourself about it. But that's, and you know, that's, I'm not my circumstance. That's how I take about it when I empower and talk to people. I'm not my circumstance, because I could have been, you know, but I'm not.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I definitely applaud you for that. David, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Alicia mentioned about a lot of people who are uninsured in this country, and a lot of people are unaware that they're eligible for Medicare or Medicaid, or mm-hmm. you just sign up for Obamacare. And you just go to the website, you put in your income, and there's a ton of low-income people who don't have health insurance, and all you have to do is go to the website. And if you're not sure, I mean, I bet there's people who make 60 grand and they have enough kids that they mm-hmm. still qualify for maybe not a full ride, but a substantial discount. And that is so important. And not only do you get that insurance, but it lowers your deductible. So instead of being stuck with the $6,000 deductible that I have, that I've met every year for like 8 years now, ouch, you know, you wind up with a $500 or $0 deductible. So just apply. And another little tidbit I heard is that in some states, anyone who applies for Medicare or Medicaid, and I'm not sure if this still goes on, they just automatically give it to you. So
that's how it is in California, but it wasn't like that until COVID. So that right. was part of the changes that were right. made in COVID, is that whatever illness you have, whatever your situation is, there was nobody who could be turned away, no matter right. you know what your economic situations are. But one of the things that I truly love to do is put on stand-up comedy events. My brand is Laughter Heals, because I really believe that laughter is healing. You know what I mean? And it can heal a lot of these people who claim things, because not everybody who has depression is actually depressed. Not everybody who has anxiety or feels anxious, it can be diagnosed with anxiety. You know, I had a situation one time with a friend of mine who was going through this divorce, and she wound up staying on my couch for months. And all she would do is just lay there and do nothing. So finally I said, you know what? I'm going to Seattle on Tuesday. So you got to figure it out. So she left and she moved. But my whole thing is that I feel that sometimes you have to, and I know that people can't always pick themselves up, but you have to pick yourself up and put one foot in front of another and mm-hmm. keep going. And that's why I put on these comedy shows, so that we can all laugh. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on comedy as far as healing?
Well, I think you're dead on accurate on that. I really like to perform for groups, as I say, groups that deserve to laugh. So, you know, I do a lot of private events for a lot of, you know, charities and corporates of, you know, nonprofits, things like that, of people that just, you know, have had hard times in their life, or, you know, as Michelle said, people supporting people that have had hard times in their life, and just to elevate people. And you'd be surprised, man. Just the amount of people that come up after the show, like, thank you so much. I needed that. That's the first mm-hmm. time I've laughed in such a long time. Yeah, it's absolutely, as I say, laughter is the best medicine. And yeah, I don't know what else to add, Sharifa. There you go.
But I've never in my life met a comedian who keeps running out of words.
Alicia? Yeah, but one thing to keep in mind too, and I think COVID really brought this out, especially, you know, in terms of access, is how many children didn't have access to the internet to do online schooling. So mm-hmm. that carries over into their parents' ability mm-hmm. to get access to these programs. So, you know, it's not even just enough to say, hey, you can go online and apply and get these things, but you also have to have the means to have the internet access or the libraries, which were closed during COVID, you know. So there's just so many different areas that have to be considered when you're talking about, you know, laughter. How do you deal with stress? How do you make a way out of no way, and the resilience that comes behind it? So mm-hmm. I think all of these areas, you know, play a part, but we also have to be realistic in the times that we're in. How do you get internet access to somebody who doesn't have it? Or what can we do to support those who may not be able to go to, down to, you know, the Medicaid or Medicare office due to transportation issues and all of these things, because those are the people who need it the most.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. And even with my friend who was sleeping on my couch for months, people were saying, well, Sharifa, you got to be sympathetic. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have compassion. She's going through a divorce. But what I saw was that when she was married, that was what her and her husband did. She had been laid off for at least 2 or 3 years. Her husband just got laid off during COVID. So he would go to work. But when during COVID, when he got laid off and she was laid off, all they would do is just sit on the couch, drink and watch television. So after they got a divorce, that was still her MO. And I, you know, I'm the kind of person where if you're in my house, you have to either say, Sharifa, how can I help you? Or Sharifa, how can you help me? But I'm not going to get up, and I'll get up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I, you know, whatever your situation is, you're not going to sleep all day on the couch, because different people who go through different situations respond to it in different ways, you know. And one of the things that I also learned about hosting this show, I was talking about my aunt here in California who has her granddaughter. And when COVID happened, her school sent her a PDF, 3 PDFs, 90 pages each PDF, and told her to print it out and teach her granddaughter. And so my aunt called me and she was like, what do I do? She was like, they just told me to print it and I don't have a printer. I got to take this to Kinko's or FedEx. And I said, you do realize 90 pages each at about $1 per page, you're going to bankrupt yourself trying to, you know, educate your granddaughter. And so she pushed back and she went to the school and they printed it for her. But I was sharing this story and someone else said to me, they was like, well, at least she got a packet. And I was like, what did you get? She was like, they told us to go home and teach the kids something. And I was like, what does that mean? You know, I'm confused. Like, I was confused with Jeremy and his trailer park thing. But because that's literally what they told. They didn't give them a packet. So a lot of, I hear you, Alicia. I hear you 100%. I'm in California, you know, so a lot of things are different here. Whereas you go to other places, they may not have access. So I definitely agree with what you had to say.
So Sharifa, to address what some of the word of community, I'm living in a rural community, Alicia as well. And that has been like one of the main things for us. So what happened was, you know, one of the partners went through the police departments where they would do like a satellite, you know, mobile for those that had certain time limits, and it would be on within those distances within mm-hmm. the towns. The library, they had like a mechanism where they can go for that, because that's where I live in. I live in a rural neighborhood town, maybe not like very bad, but it's that's what they did with that region. And I think it was like on to like 10, 8 o'clock or something like that. And then they wanted to get the kids to get activity to be outside. So those were like some of the things that they did for in our area.
I definitely understand. So, David, why was you messing with this man's wife?
You know, I was 23 at the time. She was 50 with a disabled child. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but I just had no interest in this woman. What I did have an interest in was she asked for my help, and she was getting beat up by this guy who was about 5 times. I mean, he looked like he was pregnant with a baby elephant. And, you know, she was about 120 pounds and she asked for my help. She needed a rescue. She needed to be extracted from that situation. I said, put your stuff in my car and I'll take you down to the Capitol. And I didn't even think about myself and that, you know, here's a guy 5 times my size who's got a gun. And I just took her down there. And so then the next week he tried to double my rent here in rural Costa Rica on the side of the river. And I said, this is crazy. I'm leaving, you know, forget about it. Anyway, so I get back and he's got, you know, his gun out, and I locked myself in the boathouse. So he's running around with his gun, calls the police down there. Four guys come with Uzis, get out of their Jeep to go inspect my hotel room I was staying at that he said I destroyed. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? It turned out a few months later, I found out that he destroyed the thing himself to collect damages from me because he was upset because I helped his wife get out of a bad situation. So I called my boss, Chandy Vegu, who had this gigantic motorcycle. He shows up and he said, David, did the police tell you to stay? No. I said, okay, well, let's go. I'm like, well, there's a problem. The front gate's guarded by this guy with a 3-foot-long machete. He said, well, just get in your car and let's go. We'll deal with it at the front gate. So we get there and Chandy, he's like, he didn't put up with that. He goes, just open the door. And the guy actually opened the door and let us out. Anyway, so a week later, immigration shows up and they said, are you David Chapman? I said, yes, I'm David Chapman. They're like, have you been working here illegally in Costa Rica? I'm like, no. They're like, yeah, you have. we got the full report. You're in trouble. And open the trunk of your car. Okay. And there's like a stack this tall of t-shirts from the company and my guiding jacket and my paddle. And I mean, I knew I was busted. And they said, look, you know, we know that this guy has trouble. He looks like he's got some issues with drugs and alcohol. And, you know, we need to uphold our laws and you just need to leave the country and at least get your tourist visa renewed and just come back 3 days later, keep working. We really don't care. But we need you to sign this piece of paper saying, you know, just so we can show him that we're upholding our laws, saying that you agree to show up Monday to be deported from the country and you can't come back for 10 years. And I'm like, but, you know, can I trust you guys that you just want me to leave the country? Like, yeah, we just want to, you know, show that we're upholding the laws and show this to him. I mean, I'm like, can I trust him? And they're like, well, you know, guess what? You don't have a choice. If you don't sign this, we're going to confiscate your car, your computer, and expel you really for sure for 10 years, and you won't be able to come back to Costa Rica. So I was really between a rock and a hard place. I signed it, and they were true to their word. They're like, just get out of here, renew your visa, go to Nicaragua, come back. And I did, and I got to work for 4 more months, no more problems.
Wow. The only reason I asked that question was not really just to be messy and petty. There was a point to that. Is because one of the things that I've learned and my dad has told me, you know, you got to be very careful in these situations. You know, right now, to this, it's June 8th, 2021. I have three different ones who are in domestic violence situations. Mm. I have a friend right now who her husband or the guy, whatever, had he was doing all kind of stuff. And he wound up putting his knee on her neck. And she was like, you're on my neck. And he told her, I will George Floyd you. Mm. Right. This happened within like the last 30 days. And my heart breaks, but I don't intervene in those situations, mainly because I have seen situations where other people have rescued them and taken them to the White House and saved them. And then 2 days later, you go by the house and she's sitting there with him. I'm like, oh my God. I love to hear your thoughts, Michelle.
And that's where you come with a self-esteem issue. You know, that's where, am I have that work? Am I not worthy enough to really find me? And that's one of the things when I do these conferences and I take these women away from out of homes. I actually have women come to the homeless shelter where I have these events. Because some of them in the women's shelters because of domestic violence. And that's why I put together this, MAB, Mind, Affirmations, Beauty, and Boldness, because you have to understand it starts with the mind. So you got to change your mindset. And we got to start when that happens, we got to affirm something. Am I really worthy? What do I really think of myself for this? You know, am I going to give him that much credit of that much overhold over me? And then we go for beauty. You are beautiful. You are no longer, you're not going to be beautiful all bruised up, you know, and then you have to cover up with the makeup and, you know, all of that stuff. And I don't have nothing against makeup because I can put some on too as well. But then you got to have that boldness. You got to be bold to step out from that atmosphere. And again, everything in life is a risk. You know, some people are afraid and we stay attached to those things because of material things. But I always tell them your worth is so much more than a material, because you it can tear you up inside. You got to know your worth. Because I said, you know, he tells us we are worthy. You know, we are worthy. You like that diamond. And again, we all diamonds. We go through some rough. You got to get some heat. But you know what? When you think about your worthiness and your pureness and how it all comes together, it makes so much more better with that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. But I think self-esteem or low self-esteem or the, mm-hmm. the lack of self-esteem, you know, it affects all people, all yes. Races, all male, female, everyone. I was listening to Jeremy and I wanted to give Jeremy a hug. He was like, my dad didn't vote for me. My dad mm-hmm. wanted me to take over this business. How was it that you were able to just stand up and do what you had to do regardless of who supported you, Jeremy?
You know, I was kind of thinking about that a minute ago, some of these stories of just perseverance. So not only those, but way back in 2011, I got hired by a college agent to tour the country, and I was going to be a big star, and he was going to make me, you know, this big comedy icon. And, you know, of course, that didn't work out. So I live in Springfield, Illinois. But so eventually, though, with him, he stopped paying me and things fell apart. And then, you know, where the big problem happened is because I worked for him, I had to cancel all the shows with all the other previous promoters and agents and comedy clubs. And now I couldn't go back to them because they're all mad at me that I canceled shows on them. So I had nowhere to go. You know, people telling me I was done. You know, when I performed at Second City in Chicago, you know, I was released from there after a few years on their stage. And again, nowhere to go, no one thinking I could do anything, but it's just a battle of perseverance and knowing that if you feel mm-hmm. you can do it, why do you stop? And I had a comedy mentor tell me when I thought my career was over after the college agent incident and said, well, what is your goal? I said, well, my end goal, I want to be, you know, performing regularly for like these churches and corporate events and these fundraisers. And so, well, why do you need the comedy clubs then? And I was like, well, you kind of work your way through them. And then they kind of point you out. He goes, don't go through them, go around them. And so that is my my trademark phrase that I give to everybody. Whatever your obstacle, somebody's in your way, don't go through them, go around them. And then sure enough, a Dry Bar Comedy special and an Amazon Prime special. And then now a best-selling Amazon book. So I showed them.
You showed them, Jeremy. You showed them.
Jeremy, that's really good, because you know what? I'm in your same boat as well. I have a very supportive husband, very dear. But you know, you would think it would always come from your family, but most of the time it doesn't. It's like this platform. This is through Shariva. This is through meeting you guys. That's where I will get my most support is. So I love my family. But you would don't. I always tell people in this too, don't always look at it as somebody that you know that will attach to, you know, to know it. Because I even said this a couple weeks on the show. You know, I love my family. Trust, I love them to death. But you will not get the support from them like you think you are. I can tell you maybe 10 of my family members who maybe have bought a book or whatever else. But it's all well. But I'm still moving on. That's right. I don't even look at that. I still look upon where the vision is. God's gonna lead me to, you know, it's always that. So I know the feelings, and I know that can be very hurtful. I understand that, but it's always, and that's why I'm like you. I look around it. So yeah.
Okay. So Michelle, Michelle, I'm gonna let you speak, Alicia, real quick. But Michelle, we need all the names of the family members who are not supporting you and their phone numbers. Okay. About to cold call some people. Y'all not supporting Michelle. Y'all need to buy her book. Alicia, what were you going to say?
That is, you know, it's so true. They say in business, you're supposed to build a business not with your family in mind. And, you know, you really have to do at the core what makes sense to you and what resonates with you and that you can truly be passionate about, because that passion mm-hmm. comes out when you're talking about your business and talking about the things that you do. And Jeremy, you know, when you talk about mentorship in business and entrepreneurship, that is an invaluable, you know, thing to have. I work with mentors through SCORE. So as an entrepreneur, if you're brand new, you don't really have that support, you can go to your local chamber of commerce and mm-hmm. get a free SCORE mentor. And I've literally been working with them since I even decided, yep, this is the route that I want to go. So they really help to you know, bypass a lot of the pitfalls people make when they're first starting in business, help you think about your entity. So many people are told, you know, go get this LLC. Well, what does that mean for you based on your circumstances?
Exactly.
You know, taxes and, you know, all of these things that they don't talk about. It's just always get that LLC, start that business, but they're not giving you the blueprint on how to do it right. So then you get people who get in over their heads. They get, you know, really frustrated with the process and they quit probably after they really do have something great to share with the world.
Well, they usually quit when they go home and everybody in their house was like, who are you to be a business owner? Who are you to be an entrepreneur? And then they, you know, their dad won't vote for them. So then they just quit and they go cry in the corner, you know? And one of the things that I saw this meme and I shared it on social media, it said, no one else is supposed to understand your calling. When God gave it to you, it wasn't a conference call. Right. So you have to keep in mind that whatever you're supposed to do, it's for you. When I built my first website in 1994, there were people in my family who told me I was lazy because I didn't want to go get a job. But one of the things that I always tell entrepreneurs is that when people love you, they want you to be safe. You know, it's not just that they're evil, mean, heartless people. It's a lot of times they want you to go get that safe job being a teacher. They want you to go get that safe job being a fireman. They want you to be secure. And so being an entrepreneur is one of the most unstable things. Like, if I could choose not to be an entrepreneur, believe me, I would never have chosen this life. I would have chosen something that was safe and secure. Jeremy, I think you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just a matter of powering through. I remember, you know, even my family, like you said, was always trying to look out for me. Like, do you really want this life? You're coming up the ranks and you're just sleeping on couches. And, you know how long it's been since I slept on a couch? Well, except for when my wife makes me, but that's different.
That's a whole different show, Jeremy. We're not going to go into that unless you're about to get deported along.
You know, my first year running WebRageous, I made $5,000.
In a year?
In 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And that was, I mean, that was a rough year. And I started off in web design. I learned web design when I was running the flying club at where I went to school. And then I decided, when I was out of school and after the raft guiding gig, that I wanted to get into web design again. Yeah, I made $5,000. And, I had to do some other things to support myself. I was a ski instructor and a bartender and on and on and on. But that was really what I wanted to do. And it took me 10 years to get past $50,000 a year. And then from there, it accelerated and I sold another business that I had started for $90,000. It was only worth about, 20, according to a lot of other people, but I managed to get 90,000 for it. And then I could put all my effort into running WebRageous. And I had moved from web design, which I was awful at, to natural search, which I was good at, but I hated, to then paid search, which is what I'd only do now, which I love. I love managing Google ads. It's exciting. And when you can double or triple the leads for a client, it's a big deal. And it just, it's like what so many people have been saying here today is you have to persevere and you have to keep trying and push through. And I think most people would have given up, making just $5,000 in 1 year, but I didn't because that was what I knew. I knew I was going to find something that was valuable.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I talk about in my first book, which was And Here's Your Box, is about my story of getting laid off 8 times. And each time I got laid off, the company was like, it's not you, but we love you, but here's your box. Put all your little personal things in it and hit the door. But each time I would go on this entrepreneurial journey, then I would go look for a job. It was like some reason, and what I found with entrepreneurs is there's something that does not allow them to stop. They can't stop if they wanted to. And most entrepreneurs have stopped at least 2 or 3 times or a few times where they said, you know what? I'm going to give up this website design business. I'm going to go work for someone else. They go work for someone else. Something happens and they wind up back in this situation. But if you just keep going, you'll get there. Like what Jeremy was saying, sleeping on the couches. Tyler Perry used to sleep on the couch of one of my friends, but where is Tyler Perry now? There isn't anyone who has reached any level of success that didn't have some sort of struggles. Alicia, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. So my parents are Jamaican. So my dad has all these, you know, sayings for everything. So one he would always tell me is, you have to crawl before you walk. And so, you know, I really take that to heart when looking at entrepreneurship. We all aspire to the Tyler Perry level. But what we don't see is the grunt work down here that it took to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we as entrepreneurs and as we're telling people our story and we're going through the ranks and we're getting more and more successful, if people start to see, you know, yeah, I did get here, but for this period of time, like you said, I made $5,000 for the year and I had to use it as a learning opportunity. So what didn't I do properly? And now I need to pivot and try something else. And that's one of the beauties about being an entrepreneur. You have the ability to pivot and switch and do things a little bit differently because you're your own boss. If you see something not working, you don't have to stick to it. It's not like working for a corporation and you see things down the road and you're like, oh my gosh, this is a train wreck ready to happen. But you really have no say because you're just one of the many workers in the wheel. Now you truly own that story and that narrative.
I definitely agree. My first job out of high school at 18 years old was working for TWA, for Trans World Airlines. And I go into this job and I'm like, why are you faxing these reservations to these passengers? Why don't you just send them an email? And they told me, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we will always do it. And I'm not saying that's the reason TWA went out of business. All I'm saying, I'm just saying, they're no longer in business. So you have to learn how to adapt. You have to learn how to grow. That was some nuggets right there. I hope the people who are watching heard what Alicia had to say and what David had to say and that whole adaptability. So David tried one thing, he tried a second thing, but in the process, he found the one thing that he truly enjoyed, the thing he's passionate about, and the thing that was profitable. It's profitable. It's profitable, right, David?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's great. It really is great to be able to get to this point where, you know, a lot of people, they want that security of a full-time job. And there's something to be said for that. But you've got that one gig and you get fired from that and you go from whatever your good salary is and whatever that security is to a big fat zero. Okay. And all of the entrepreneurs here today, I mean, I'd love to tell you that I bat 1,000 and that clients don't fire me, but you know, throughout the course of a year, at least one client is going to, for whatever reason, decide to go in another direction. And a lot of them come back, but every year I'm gonna get fired by at least one client. and that's just the way that it goes. But it doesn't matter because I still have my other 20 clients who are paying me, and that is security. And, you know, last year, March, April, all of a sudden my revenue went down 50%, and that was awful, but I didn't lose my job and I was still able to pay my bills, and then you bounce back. And so you've got a bit of a cushion there, and you just always have to keep reinventing yourself and trying again and again and again. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. Like yesterday, a Monday, Monday morning, I had absolutely no internet in Yellowstone Park. And if I had a job, that would be, you know, a not so good thing. But, you know, I had a really relaxing day and it was, you know, it was great. And I had, you know, a day or two last week when I was able to do some things other than work with that flexibility of having my own business. And that is priceless.
Yes, absolutely. This has been a very interesting show. We went all over the place, a lot of different topics. We are down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Alicia.
Thank you so much. So Alicia Garner, I hope that you check us out at www.culturewithakelevation.com. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and you can find us at Culture Elevation Inc. we just really are out here trying to do inspirational things for the community. Watch out for us this summer. We'll have some series available for your kids, and we're just going to keep growing.
Yeah, I'm going to get me one of those t-shirts. I need some of those intuition t-shirts.
Yes, check us out.
Absolutely. David, what do you have for us?
Sure. So I've been running WebRageous for 20 years now, and all we do is manage Google Ads. So we do our best work for attorneys. That's about half of our practice. But really any client, potential client who's spending over $5,000 a month is someone that might be a good fit. And we have a free account audit. So you don't know what you're missing until you have me take a look at the Google Ads account. And if I can't help you, I'll be really honest about it. We have, there's a video I put together on any of the inner pages, not the home page, but on any other page. Scroll down on the bottom right somewhere, you'll find a video, how to audit your own Google Ads account. So check that out and spend a few minutes, and you can see how you can reduce waste in your account. And that's something that I'm really good. If you don't watch the video, I'll walk you through that. As long as you're spending over $5,000 a month, I can do a personal account review and just see how I can help people, which is something I'm passionate about.
Wow, I love it. Figure out how to do a free audit. That's a, free is my favorite number. So I like Absolutely. That. I'm going to go to the inner pages. I'm going to watch that video and I'm going to audit. And then, you know, get my budget up to about 10, 15,000. Then I'm going to call David. Be like, David, awesome. Audit this for me. Thank you, David. Jeremy, thank you. You're welcome. What do you have for us?
So I was going to say, you mentioned earlier the, that's how we've always done it. That is a very common phrase in the small town boardroom. And I talk about that in the book, You Can't Write City Hall there. So check that out. If you're a pro wrestling fan, the Dynamite Drop-In podcast. And, you know, watch the specials. I think I get a dollar every time somebody watches maybe like my Amazon special or the Dry Bar. So if anyone could just sit at home and keep hitting refresh, that would help.
I'm going to watch it today. I'm going to watch it today and I'm going to send it out on my social media.
Awesome.
So Amazon Prime, right? I have that.
Yeah. It's if you just search for my name, you'll find that. And that would help. You know, my kid currently only has 3 toys. We'd like to buy more. right now he's got 3, a paddle, a string, and a ball.
Kids don't even like toys. That's what I noticed. It's like you buy them this expensive toy and they want to play with a pot in the kitchen on the floor. I'm like, I could have just got a pot for less. But hey, I digress, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks, Sharifa.
You are so welcome. Michelle, what do you have for us?
So what I do have for the audience and for anyone, I actually just lived upon my dreams and by inspiration. So you can follow me on Upfront Mind, Body, and Soul podcast weekly on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. But I have releasing in 2 weeks my book that I turned into a song, Seize a Moment. So it's just a little bit of message about inspiration to help those, if you just feeling just down, but it's a song to make you just take a moment to seize a moment.
So we don't get a song?
Hey, I'll give you a little piece. I'll share it to you. I'll share it.
I gotta hear a little piece. The people tuning in may miss when you share it.
Let's hear it. Okay. So I'm gonna give you a few of the words of it. Seize a moment. Love is a useful tool and a great goal. A smile, a hug, or a handshake could enlighten the one who is at their last day. Building relationships like we build wealth empires, we gotta take the time to seize a moment.
Oh, you grew up in the church, Michelle. I can tell. I can hear in the voice. She's been praising the Lord for a long time. Oh, girl, that was beautiful. I love it. Another incredible show. This was amazing. I tell you, you never know where this show is going to go. We have Jeremy over here running for mayor of this small town. We have David over here getting kicked out of Costa Rica. We have Michelle over here saving the world through a song and much more. And we have Alicia out here getting artist exposure, t-shirts, speaking, just so much. So I have enjoyed it. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Whether you're watching it 3 days from now, 3 weeks from now, or 8 months from now, it doesn't matter. Please go ahead and share this show. Support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to share their lives, their journey, their song with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But as always, don't just visit their website. Follow them on social media. Check them out on Amazon Prime. Support our guests. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.